trying to sleep when the dog was asleep yesterday, so I said to the dog, "Speak, speak." And the dog said, "What'll I say?"
So what did you say to the dog then?
I gave up. I'd be that dumb, I wouldn't bother with him.
You probably are wondering what you've come to the cross here, friends. It's a featured radio program.
If you're new to Boston, it's nowhere.
It's a matinee, and this is Bob and Ray. Bob is the other fellow, I'm Ray, and we're all
this is yesterday's show. I'm going away here.
We're going on record right now for the next half hour of gay, fast-moving, sidestepping, hilarious-type programming.
And banter.
And fast and chatty banter.
It's a beautiful afternoon.
Well, so I hear, but it may clabber up for rain. It may be raining now. Who knows?
Well, we haven't looked out all morning.
We have, of course, Ken and Bill on the record here again today. And who needs them?
Well, it will be that much less for us, you see.
I don't follow that at all.
I mean, if they take 6 minutes out of the show with two numbers, we actually do 24 minutes. Then we have three commercials, each one of them 2 minutes long. That's 6 minutes, so out of 24, that leaves 18.
18 minutes for...
We've already caught 2 minutes, so that's 16 we're going to go.
All right, that's the night off.
And then we have to end 45 seconds early, so that's 14, 15 we're going to go. Pretty soon we won't have any time to go.
Well, if you keep talking, we're...
Good night off.
Is there any special reason for the engineer hanging by his heels in the door? Is there any special purpose? Is that how they ride game on this show, or what?
Well, no, not usually. I've never seen that actually happen in the control room before.
New man, I guess.
He was hanging from the fire extinguisher that in the ceiling there. Those things that start when the place gets too hot to handle, you know? We're here to tell you more about fire extinguishers. No, we don't have anybody here.
No.
But we do have, several people in the studio that we're going to speak with
get
a little bit later.
Get that
down, Bill. My car's all set for another 2 hours, huh?
They call me...
Hmm?
I just seen breaking into one of my new hit tunes called Timetable Mabel, The Girl Who's in Love with a Train.
That's a very nice song. It's
10 to 5. I think it's another Higgy Carmichael song.
Well, shall we listen to it? So soon, or shall we wait?
No, let's not. Let's just... sit here for a while, Bob, and more or less chat about life in as many, many, many facets, so to speak.
And drink in the fresh, clear weather that we have here today.
Why not, Bob?
Very good idea.
Follow me onto the back 40, anyone for croquet here?
Or tennis, or horseshoes, or...
anyone at all?
And?
Guess not.
Hmm?
Well, let's just sit here some more.
Nobody has any ambition today. What's the matter with everybody?
Well,
they've got seersucker pajamas. No.
What's that?
See where they're putting out seersucker pajamas? This is seersucker suit, Webby.
Seersucker pajamas have been around for years. I remember having them when I was a wee one.
Is that so?
Yes, indeed.
Well, I always preferred Dr. Denton's myself.
Well, there's a time and place for Dr. Denton's. Summertime isn't particularly ideal for it.
Now, I remember Alaska, where I was during my earlier years.
I don't want to view some of those more famous derbies at ours than we were, say, up in Alaska, the Tundra region, and into Mexico, when we climbed
we climbed that mountain down
that
there.
That mountain, and,
well, I think the most exciting experience that we've ever had,
probably,
when the years we spent with a small circus in a mid-European country.
That's
that
right.
Was long before the war, of course.
Long before your time, you average listener.
We had a high-wire act, which was called by kings and princes alike. And we used to travel all through the mid-European continent, as it's called over there.
Mid-European country.
And perform this high-wire act, which was well-nigh impossible. In fact, many times we fell.
And hurt ourselves considerable.
But people continued to come to see us, possibly whether it was to see us fall, we don't know.
But we did, unfortunately, come to a parting of the ways with the commander of that particular circus.
See, up until this time, we'd always used a net for our act.
And this very night that we are referring to now, somebody either had forgotten to put the net out, or, by design, the manager had ordered no net.
I believe that was actually the case. I never did look into it. We got out as quickly as we could.
But I do know that we both fell, and we hit the ground with a resounding tattoo.
Quite a thought. We've never suffered any ill effects from it, however.
Not a bounce.
We're perfectly normal.
We're just like you.
Sane. And we have taken up this avocation. Radio.
Now to the pie-eating contest. And we have a couple of contestants here. Sir, your name is what?
Sherman McClure.
Sherman McClure. Will you talk on the microphone, Sherman?
Yes.
You are, as I understand it, the number...
Champagne pie eater.
And you are wearing number one.
I'll be riding out of shoot number one.
Eating what kind
eating
of pie?
Eating pie.
I see. All right, now...
I paint a mighty pretty picture.
Now, have you told the pie-eating manager just what kind of pie you want to eat?
I'm eating strawberry.
All right.
I find that the berries are easier to handle.
Mm-hmm.
That I can consume more strawberry pie than any other, save possibly chocolate.
Well,
you know how chocolate is in this warm weather.
Yeah, it gets real game.
All over.
And another thing I want to ask you about, on the strawberry pie that you eat.
I'm the only one who eats it.
Yeah.
The other contestants are eating lemon, coconut.
Rhubarb. I noticed there's one person down there with a frown on his face who's eating rhubarb.
That's right. It was a little green when they made the pie.
Actually,
we pie eaters don't worry about the quality of the pie.
More or less easy as pie.
Yes, sure. It is easy as pie to do this, but it does take training. Now, get up to this point
well,
where
you
I'm ready.
On?
I've been training on
rice
pie.
Rice pudding? Or?
Oh, no, pie.
How many?
You start with an Eskimo pie.
A small, covered ice cream set.
That's right. Then you work up through Mother Frisbee's.
And then chicken pie, do you ever?
Sometimes in the evening hours, I go chicken pie, beef pie.
Well, where do you practice your pie?
Anywhere I happen to be. Hey, Bickford's, where they serve pie.
Well, do you buy
a... Yeah, it paints quite a picture sitting there in Hayes Bickford's.
Well, do you eat a whole pie or
I eat a hunk of pie.
I see.
My old fraternity.
I appreciate it. That would take a beer. It's mine.
Well, is this a beer drinking contest or
no,
a pie eating?
No, it's a pie eating contest. Now, sir, if you want to get back into your chute, we'll have your pies down for you in just a moment.
All right. And
close the door, assistant. Mm-hmm. Sure. Now let's interview the next person. The next fellow is quite a small little man. He only stands 7 inches high.
I'm trying to
get right up close to my phone and stand up on this controller. He'll give you a little height.
All right.
Climb up on that controller.
I'm up there.
How can you climb with such a little fellow?
Well, I never win. I never win because I can't eat as much as the big fellow.
You eat the normal size pies that the other fellows
do?
No,
they bake small little pies for me.
About how big?
Oh, about big around your fist.
Uh-huh.
But for me, that's a big around your fist.
That's a little pie.
Good pie.
Now, timetable Mabel salutes Keene, New Hampshire.
They call me Timetable Mabel. I'm swinging along on the train.
On the train, on the train.
On the Boston and Maine.
She's singing and swinging along on the train.
I do love to ride on the train because I feel as free can be. I've got nobody to bother me. Nobody to tell me to stop or go. And I don't have to worry about rain.
Oh, no.
She's just swinging along on the train.
I love to travel by train.
Take a train.
Got no decisions I have to make. I read or I rest or a nap I take. I do what I want or I don't do a thing. When I ride on the train, do you wonder I sing?
She's a swinging along on the train.
Oh, I love to travel by train.
That's why they call her Timetable Mabel. The girl is in love with a train. Boston and Maine.
Few people going to Keene, so long now.
Few people coming to Boston, that's Keene.
Yes, sir. There are 9 trains every weekday between Boston and Keene, New Hampshire. One-day round-trip coach ticket, $5.41, tax included. And for listening to me, thank you.
Now let's bring over the winner of our 5th annual pie-eating contest. And I'm very happy to say that it's the first fellow we talked to.
Yes, it is, sir. If you'd stand up here to the microphone. I know that you're pretty well winded. How many pies did you go through?
28.
28. And in what time? 3 minutes?
2 minutes and 47 seconds and 2/10.
And you
or a half.
And it was all strawberry pie, right?
All strawberry pie.
And I might mention, friends, that it contained quite a bit of starchy material to keep the strawberries together, too.
Why, is my tongue ever red, huh?
Golly. Well, I know that you don't want to stand here and talk too much. You want to get right back, probably catch lunch or something.
I'm going out to dinner now, yeah.
And,
I didn't eat, you see, before the contest. I didn't want to spoil my appetite.
Right.
But so now everything's okay. I can go out and eat.
I bet you
are. I don't have to worry about a pie eating contest next year.
After eating all those pies.
I feel great.
Well, now, your prizes, I suppose you're wondering what they are, eh?
Yes.
Well, first one, and if our assistant will bring it out on the stage here.
I'll bring them over here, right?
It's a 50-pound sack of cornmeal.
Oh, boy.
Now, that's enough cornmeal for you and every member of your family to last a year, at least.
Well, I don't have any family, but I can certainly use it.
Another nice gift that I know that you can use, particularly being a pie eater, is a year's supply of putty for every window in your home.
Good. That will keep out the icy winter blasts.
It certainly will. Another thing I know that you'll want is probably two ukulele picks. One is cracked. I'm sorry. It happened just before the broadcast.
I only have one ukulele, so that will be fine.
Uh-huh. Here's a...
I might get another ukulele, in which case I would need another pick because the second pick you gave me is cracked.
I'll say.
I think you too, fella.
And here is a dozen boxes of Tootsie Rolls.
Oh, well. I'll stop right into those now. A little candy won't hurt me for lunch.
They're all attached together. Now, we've gone to a great bother. We've welded every single individual Tootsie Roll into one...
That's a snazzy idea.
One giant Tootsie Roll. It would go from here to Bunker Hill and back again.
Isn't that a big... I never saw such a Tootsie Roll as this.
Well, it will last you all year, I know.
Certainly will. It's an all-year Tootsie Roll. Wonderful. And thank you, fellas, for giving me this chance.
And one other thing before you go. Here's a Johnson Seahorse. Now keep it fed and have a good time.
Thanks very much. Come on, little fella. Come on. Let's go.
Speaking of Johnson Seahorses, Bob, have you ever relaxed and gone outboard motoring?
Sure. Good many times, pray.
Well, look, if you go outboard motoring, why don't you get on a Johnson Seahorse?
You mean without the boat?
No, don't do that because you'd get all wet. But actually, I have attached myself to a Johnson Seahorse without a boat, and I've had probably some of the greatest fun I've ever had in my life, just skimming over the lake, holding on wildly.
You think you could use those on them things you ride along behind boats? What do they call them?
I don't know. What, a surfboard?
Surfboard, sure.
I don't know. I suppose
I
you could.
I don't believe that. Maybe they'd be good on that. They're part of a self-propelled surfboard.
It would be all right at that. Well, I don't know. We don't want
to... Well, what would you tie the ropes to?
Mm-hmm. That's your question.
That's right. Well, you could tie the ropes to the dock, I suppose.
But then
come
you...
Come in toward it.
Always drive towards shore.
That's right.
Yeah, well...
And then the tide would help you, see, if it were coming in.
Yeah. We're not getting too confused for any of you listeners
out. The tide were going out, you could head the surfboard outward bound.
With the Johnson Seahorse
on the
heading...
other end.
Yeah. Well, now, Johnson dependability...
Don't back up.
Johnson dependability means absolutely carefree vacation hours. But to tell you more about it, Larry Lovebreath.
You know, incidentally, this is the first day I've been here since you've had this new commercial.
Oh, have you, Ron?
And I'd like to welcome me to the Outboard Motor Mart of 309 Atlantic Avenue in Boston.
Oh, welcome, Bob.
Direct factory representative and repair headquarters for Johnson Motors, with repair facilities and replacement parts for all makes of outboard motors.
Just think that one over for a few minutes, and you'll realize what that statement means.
The Outboard Motor Mart, 309 Atlantic Avenue, Boston, also features Pen Yan and Thompson boats.
You see.
And has over 200 used and rebuilt outboard motors for you to choose from. So visit the largest plant and service department in New England, devoted exclusively to outboard motors. Or, if you wish, you can write to Outboard Motor Mart, 309 Atlantic Avenue, Boston, for free literature. Remember, if you're...
Incidentally, on that free literature, I think it's a copy of a travelogue. And if you are one for literature, then you contact the Outboard Motor Mart, and they'll get some literature right out to you.
Have more fun in the sun this summer, vacationing and skimming over the waters of a friendly lake in an outdoor motorboat. Outboard Motor. Outboard motorboat.
But anyway, have fun, will you?
See and buy your outboard motorboat Outboard motor.
Oh, please, Bob. You get your glasses on.
Well, this is the first day I've seen this, you see. Uh-huh. It's completely fresh to me.
I'll see.
And it's a new approach.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a no-selling type approach you use.
Outboard Motor Mart is at 309 Atlantic Avenue, Boston. Or write to Outboard Motor Mart for free literature.
We mentioned that before. But actually, seriously, and all kidding aside, there's only one place in Boston to get all your outboard motors or to have yours repaired or to trade or do anything else, and that's the Outboard Motor Mart at 309 Atlantic Avenue. They are headquarters.
For what?
Oh, it's
for Outboard Motors.
Yeah. So, will you do that and write to them? Let them know that you're getting along all right, because...
Yeah, even if you're not thinking of buying an outboard motor, they'll be happy to...
correspond with you and send you some free literature, and maybe you could send them some. Who knows? Maybe we can start up a little friendly relationship between you and the Outboard Motor Mart. Now, you two people have never met before, probably. By year's end, you may be fast friends.
Who can tell?
Sure.
Say, Ray.
What?
I got to thinking about them sweepstakes tickets that I bought from you fellas yesterday.
Yeah?
You know, that race was run about a month ago that I bought the tickets yesterday on.
Yeah, and funny, too.
Page of 680, I believe.
Yeah, funny. Now, the tickets you bought didn't win either, did they?
No, they weren't, but obviously they couldn't have been because the race had already been won.
We didn't know who won it.
No, chances. You could possibly have had a winning ticket there. We didn't mean to perpetrate a fraud upon you, Tex. That was...
Oh, well, all right. I just began to think about it.
No.
I thought maybe you had.
No, absolutely not.
No, we were perfectly open and above board on the whole thing.
Speaking of above board, don't forget the outboard motor mart.
The above board motor mart.
At 309 Atlantic Avenue.
Why don't we hear from Ken and Bill again here, shall we?
Well, let's hand out the earplugs.
This is, I think, the other side of the one we heard before.
It had to be you, right?
That's the one. No, it isn't either. It's you, the only girl in the world.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ken and Bill.
If you were the only girl in the world and I the only boy, I'd be pretty too. And it's included in Ken Wilson's and Bill Green's famous album, Mood and Melody, which is on sale.
On Mood.
And on Melody. On sale at all better hardware stores throughout northern Bath, Maine.
So look for it, you folks in Bath. And take one.
So why is it Saturday and all?
I meant take the record.
Oh, I didn't. I missed the entire train of your thought.
But anyway, we're practically down to commercial number 3 for today.
Yes, we are. And it's, of course, about the place where Bob and I always like to run ourselves. And we know that if you like to watch dogs run, you certainly like to watch dogs run over there.
And if that's what you want to watch, this is the place to watch it.
Now, to tell you more is Al Starchy Lips McGee. Everybody's doing it. Yes, everybody's going to Wonderland Revere. You join the happy, friendly crowds to watch the most exciting spectacle in sports. Now, can you imagine the crowd cheering, the dogs are off, America's finest and fastest greyhounds flashing over the track, competing to win in the sport they love?
Hey, buddy.
Yeah?
There's a cigarette.
Yeah.
Thanks.
What's good?
Hmm?
I said, what's good?
What do you mean?
The fellow that asked me for a cigarette.
He just came in and asked you for a cigarette. He's gone.
Oh. Go early. Enjoy an entire evening of the sport of sports for only 25 cents. Admission at Wonderland is still only 25 cents for 10 thrilling races at the finest dog track in America. Easy to reach by MTA or by automobile. Free parking, too, or take a Bob and Ray blimp.
You'll find Bob and Ray blimps at convenient places all around New England. The daily double closes at 7:30 at Wonderland. Post time for the first race is 7:45. So join the crowds. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's going to Wonderland Revere tonight.
And having a wonderful time. Okay, well, now that does all our commercials for the day, Bob.
It takes care of all of the business. Now we can just relax and have fun for the last 5 minutes here.
I guess that's about all we can do. We thought that we would conduct another one of our small businessmen roundtable discussions here this afternoon, inasmuch as we have had with, prior to this broadcast, several other very successful small businessmen roundtables. We thought that this being Saturday and all would be a good time for us to present another one of them.
I have them all up here on the table.
Swell. Now, these small businessmen, none of them are higher.
You'll just call off your names and tell how tall you are. We'll go right around the form. First, you, sir.
Carlton L. Sturdley, 8 inches.
Phineas Fox, 7'2".
And you, sir? Incidentally, that was wicked, scheming, greedy Phineas Fox over there. He's in the shoestring business.
Marvin Ramsdell, 3 inches.
All right. Well, since you're the smallest, Marvin, why don't you start out and tell us just what's on your mind regarding the form today?
My small mind. look out there. One of the forms has been a little close to the edge of the table.
That's right. Yeah, I'll sweep him back onto the table here.
I think that we small businessmen definitely have a problem. And if we can somehow get our problem explained properly to the public, then I think...
What Mr. Ramsdell is trying to get at, or Mr. Marvin, I believe your name was, sir.
Marvin Ramsdell is my name.
Mr. Ramsdell, Marvin, was trying to get at was that if somebody could explain the problem to us...
Yes, Carlton.
We could, Phineas, we could... very easily, probably, take care of it.
Phineas, you're getting a little too close here to the table. Would you come a little closer?
Oh. Look down over that table, you get dizzy.
Wouldn't want you falling there. But now, to the problem itself. What is it? That's right. What will we do, we small businessmen, be it resolved? All right, now, let's go right along.
I'm in.
How about you, Mr. Ramsdell?
Would you boost me up a little bit, Mike?
Yeah.
I don't agree with Phineas 100%. I think that the public business thoroughly.
Well, that's right to an extent there, Marvin, but you haven't gone along to the full extent there.
Well, our elected representatives in say, Congress...
Let's not mention any names, sir, please.
All right.
Well, what's wrong with mentioning their names?
Well, nothing, but we don't want to get down to personalities. Just make general statements, if you will, please. Mr. Ramsell, you had something?
I was saying that if we could somehow prepare what we'd like to call, say...
Excuse me, would you lift over a cigarette to me?
Yes, here you are.
A brief, more or less, on...
Why, that's heavy. That's a king size.
Exactly what we plan to do. And if we don't have our plans formulated now, when are we going to do it?
So we leave the Small Business
Men's
Forum here, conducted every Saturday on the Bob and Ray Show. As the small businessmen grab a hold of problems and try to exercise their prerogative and discuss the problem in all of its various aspects.
All of us together.
We've heard today from Phineas Fox, the wicked, scheming, greedy shoestring maker. And we've also heard from Marvin Ramsdell. And Carlton Club, who didn't say too much, I don't believe. Now, as we help the small businessmen down off the table, Ray, will you take over the closing moments here?
Just a reminder that next week we'll again broadcast from the auditorium the Small Businessmen's Roundtable Discussion of the Year. If you'd like a copy of today's discussion...
Ray?
Yes?
I left my hat up there on the table. You throw it down on me,
Okay.
We'll be back again on Monday, I guess, at 1:35 with Matinee.
That's right. And as I say, if you'd like a copy of today's discussion, simply address your request to the Army Engineer, care of the Alcan Highway.
Today we were transcribing...
Coincidentally, will you also enclose about $10?
And we'll see you on Monday morning, too, 6:35. So long.
Have a pleasant weekend, and write if you get work.